Got a lot to talk about today. Yes, we are going to talk about not hosting the Super Bowl anytime soon. Also, we're going to talk about what Halfley said with Richard Sherman. Very good conversation. What is up, Dolphin fans? Welcome to another collective. Thank you for stopping by, hanging out with us for an hour. We always appreciate it. If you haven't yet, hit that subscribe button, hit the like button. And if you want to, hit that join button, become a new member. Also, don't forget to check out the sponsor Prize Picks. You play $5, you get 50 instantly in your lineup using that code HMA. We're going to talk a little bit more about them later on in the video. So we'll start, get it out of the way. I see that Stays Ooted is not happy with the title. I read the chat. It's my job. Let me make sure I know what you guys want to talk about. Yeah, so the Miami Dolphins aren't eligible to host the Super Bowl because of the way that the stadium is with the track and all that other stuff. But we talked a little bit about this on Monday. I don't think Stephen Ross really cares. Doesn't he make more money with that than he does hosting the Super Bowl? Like, isn't that the big thing?
One, I think this is sort of obviously a shakedown by the NFL, as it always is. I mean, you get a new stadium or you put money into your stadium and you get, you know, Super Bowl, and we bless you with $1 billion of business, and you know, we bring tourism dollars to your town. Well, Steve Ross said, instead of getting that every 5 years, I'm just going to get it every year because I'm going to build my own track, build my own housing facility for the race cars, the pits, and not only that, but I'm going to have people pay money to come race their cars on our track. We see that during the season all the time. They close off the streets and they start racing cars around the tracks.
Yeah,
I don't know. But
going back to the other point, like the Super Bowl at the end of the 2009 season, it was like it very rarely rains in South Florida at the end of January, early February. But oh no, the calamity! There was rain that night for the
Indies. We need a roof.
Exactly, you need a roof. You want another Super Bowl? You get a roof.
What bothers me the most about this whole stuff, one, the Dolphins can hold a national championship and nobody's complaining about that. And mm-hmm. I would think a national championship and a Super Bowl, kind of the same thing outside of that.
Really?
No, you don't think so?
No.
Why?
Not on the same scale. I mean, one's a mini me.
A little okay. bit, yeah. I can see that.
Okay, all right. Well, I mean, outside of them not being able to house all the NFL experience right there on the Dolphins facility, which I really don't know why they wouldn't be able to, because there's still a lot of ground to be covered around the stadium. Yes, there's not that great of a parking situation. There wasn't great parking for F1. I swear I had to walk a mile from my parking spot, but I didn't pay for it. I'm not complaining. So, like, yeah. So, it is what it is in terms of the state. I mean, if you want to need to drive to Hard Rock Stadium, okay, that's on you, because they provide buses from Hard Rock, the casino, and from the Golden Glades. Both have huge parking garages. You could literally park your car for free, hop on a bus and get to the stadium, and then leave on these same buses and get home, as opposed to worrying about Ubering or finding the Uber lot or paying surge prices or walking past Walmart to try to Uber. It's ridiculous. So, you know, bus it back if you don't absolutely have to drive. But also, I go to New Orleans regularly. I go to Atlanta regularly. And I'm sorry, I don't see anything different. In fact, those are more congested areas and congested communities. Yeah, they might have parking garages, various locations, but have you ever tried to leave Atlanta after an event, or Atlanta, downtown Atlanta, or New Orleans, the downtown after an event? It's crazy.
But it's not so much about parking as it is like hospitality tents not being plentiful enough, which is what the NFL wants around, like in the immediate vicinity of the stadium. And this is where that's been eaten away by some of the racetrack, some of the tennis courts. And again, yeah, I'm going to guess that Stephen Ross makes a lot more pocket change from F1 even one time than he does from a Super Bowl one time. So
if the NFL said no to a Super Bowl, are they also going to say no to hosting the draft?
Oh, I don't. Nobody want to host a draft around here. That's only for small town teams.
You actually think the draft is ever coming to
Dolphins are never going to ask.
It would be popular if they did. I think it'd be bumping, especially Miami.
Doug, look at a Dolphin home game. How often is the crowd more than 85% pro Dolphins as opposed to having a whole bunch of
No, but that's what I'm saying. I think if Miami did host the draft, I think you would get a huge crowd because people would love to come to Miami, not only to be in Miami, but also to support their team in the draft.
Who's really traveling for the
draft? Yeah. Really about the home team.
Who's traveling for the draft other than you?
Oh, I mean, hey, it's work. But the draft, it's really about the home city. Like I've been to the last three and it's clearly just about the city and bringing all the fans for that city out. And then you get some sprinkle, but it's really about that city. And like they said, it is a small market event because it's big for them. But Miami, I think it would be a blur. It wouldn't really get up
it wouldn't even be swim week. Miami swim week is next, this week, but I gotta keep a calendar. It's the week of May.
What's swim week?
Swim week is May 24th.
What is it?
It's where they do all kinds of swim fashion shows, sir. And models are in town. And,
this piece is half price.
And women go to fashion shows, and then they go to after parties. You know, you got to keep your social calendar a little bit active.
It's married man material, but you know.
To Stephen Ross losing the Super Bowl anytime soon, I think he does care. I think he cares big time, and it has nothing to do with money. F1 has nothing to do with money for him. At this point in Stephen Ross' life, the way I look at it, the way I look at Stephen Ross now, nothing's about money. I mean, why would it be? It doesn't matter at this point.
This is his birthday week, by the way.
It's about legacy. It's about building something massive that he can leave his family. And he just wants the best of everything. So I think you're crazy if you don't think he's got his team in Miami saying, all right, what do we need to do to get the Super Bowl back in Miami? Like continuously working on whatever it takes. I think he's all about that, making sure that this is a prime destination. They say, well, this is the problem. Well, we're going to make sure we go back to him in his address. They say that's a problem. Well, here's the fix for it. I just think that's how he operates. He doesn't want to leave anything off the table just because, oh, well, I make plenty of money. I don't think this is about money. And I also think the NFL is being a little snarky here. Is there some jealousy or something? There's something at play here because it makes no sense. It's the perfect destination.
Here's the thing that's at play. You've got an LA stadium, which you can put in the regular rotation. I think Arizona might be in the regular rotation. New Orleans, I don't know if they got a Super Bowl recently because they renovated the stadium or if they're in the regular rotation. And then you've got...
Vegas.
Oh, I didn't even know Vegas in a regular rotation.
They're getting one like towards the end of the decade apparently.
Yeah. They're more cities now. Like Tampa hasn't got one in a long time. Not to say that they aren't going to get one after they renovate their stadium because you know that's how things work. I think one. I'm not a huge Super Bowl in your city kind of guy. I don't think the juice is not worth the squeeze for me. It's just not. Like,
exactly. No,
why is the juice worth the squeeze,
Poupard? It's fun. I like enjoy covering the Super Bowl, and it's pricey to go when it's out of town, and when it's here, I personally enjoy it.
Yeah, Tampa hasn't hosted Super Bowl since 2021.
Okay, that's not a long time ago.
No, you're right. It's San Fran, L.A., Atlanta, and then Las Vegas in 2029. Atlanta,
Vegas. They always go to these dome cities. No New Orleans recently?
Yeah, New Orleans 2 years ago.
Yeah. 2025.
And then I'm sure Minnesota's going to get one because they got a new stadium. Kansas City.
It's going to be cold. Oh, my God. Minnesota in January, February?
They're complaining about Miami when what you're doing is torturing people by making them go to Minnesota. And then eventually Buffalo is going to get a stadium and renovation, and Tennessee is going to get a stadium renovation, and you're going to make people go to those cities. And then, you know,
Minnesota, that makes absolutely no sense at that time of year.
They've had one already.
It makes no sense.
There was one in Pontiac, Michigan.
Why do they even take the chance with these cold places? Even Dallas, Texas. Y'all remember when it was in Dallas? It was supposed to be a hit, and it snowed ice. I was in Dallas. It was snowing, icing. Nobody could do anything. Yeah. It was actually a ice storm, and nobody could partake. You could just go to the game, and that was it.
Okay, let's talk about the Dolphins. Enough about the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Well, that's why we talk about the Dolphins.
I have made an executive decision here.
The boss has talked. We talked a little bit about the rookie minicamp. We talked about our expectation of said players. Now, what are your expectation or kind of, you know, we talked about, and we got a nice little sound clip out of Omar when it came to the rookie camp. I don't know if you've seen it.
Omar did this.
He was like, it's stupid. They're not doing nothing.
Am I lying, Poupard?
You're not lying.
It's a waste of my goddamn time.
On top of that, the media were basically allowed to watch 20 minutes of the practice.
So nothing's going to get reported really this weekend. It's more...
We get to talk to the players afterwards. And for me, it's about sizing them up and seeing, okay... You know, like first time I saw Chop Robinson, there were already things that people had tipped me off on. Like, yeah, he's not gonna be able to stop the run. And then I saw him and I saw that he's kind of small. And then I asked him, why didn't you give a bench press before the draft? And he gave me his excuse. And then I was just like, you just skirted the system, my brother. All right, props to you. But you know, then I realized the Dolphins were the ones that got skirted last year. Being able to size up all three of the defensive tackles and just see where they are proportionally, see where they were fitness wise. You clearly saw that Jordan Phillips was head and tails above the rest. And that's the guy who played the most, who started the most. So, and Kenneth Grant had some work to do. Zeke Biggers, he was the biggest guy, but he had some work to do, and he did the work. So, you just get to see where they start and where they finish.
What their body looks like. I remember looking at Jonas Abainaya and looking at, like, he's impressive looking physically because he's built very thickly, not a whole lot of fat, but obviously it's got to translate somehow and then last year.
Going to be interesting. Obviously, it's really going to start on the 18th. When OTAs, but again, OTAs isn't really anything special either. It's just going through the plays.
It's flag football. You get to watch it. I don't think the first one they're going to be lining up offense versus defense, Poupard. Am I wrong?
In OTAs, they're allowed to.
Yeah, they might do 7-on-7s. Like it, and every coach is different. Every coach wants to do different things and instantly. Mike wanted to show off his offense. So, you know, we got to see a lot of stuff.
Okay, by the way, because I'm a stickler for facts and you keep throwing that out, Omar, and I don't mean to call you out publicly, but sorry, that's what I'm going to do anyway. But you keep throwing it out there. I just looked it up. Kenneth Grant played 564 hold on, 554 snaps last year on defense. Jordan Phillips, 465.
So who Jordan started?
Phillips, sorry?
How many starts did Kenneth Grant have? How many starts did Jordan Phillips have?
What starts? Kenneth Grant had 5 starts. But shouldn't snaps matter the most?
Sir, how many starts did Jordan Phillips have?
Let me look. Hold on. Hold your horses. Jordan Phillips has 16 starts. So you were right on that count, but Kenneth Grant played more snaps.
Okay, cool.
So we'll call it a draw.
Defense is still mediocre.
that we can agree.
Yeah, I think we all could agree on that one. Let's go into what Halfley talked about a little bit with Richard Sherman, who coached. I was going to say coached with him, like Richard Sherman was a coach on that defense with him.
Well, technically, he was, because Halfley basically said, I used to, you know, follow what you said to do during the games. And, you know, I was very impressed at the fact that Halfley gave a lot of his older players a lot of credit for helping him sort of cater their defense to what they wanted to do or how they, and I've always thought that player led teams or player driven teams are the ones that bet, because the guys are on the field, they know what's going on, they know what the teams are trying to do. Some of the players that I've covered, they were a lot smarter than their coaches, and that's just the reality of it. I'll give you an example. Calais Campbell is head and tails smarter than anybody on Mike McDaniel's staff. It's not even a question about it.
Weren't we talking in 2020? Sorry to interrupt, but weren't we talking in 2024? Certain media members, I don't know who, let me see, who were talking about how the Dolphins were a player-led team. And
it blew up in their face. I didn't say it didn't blow up in their face.
But
I did not say it didn't blow up in their face.
You're advocating for teams being player-led.
I still believe in player-led teams. You just can't put Tyreek Hill and Jalen Ramsey as the leaders of those player-led teams. Then that
players is worthy of leading the team.
Then it becomes a little complicated, because it's
so the Patriots who had that massive run of success, were they a player led team, or was it the Belichick led team?
It was a Belichick led team, but I'm sure they had strong player leadership from their.
Well, that's a different thing than being a player led team. No.
Okay. Yeah. I want to see Belichick. Since you want to tell us how masterful and genius he is, let's turn around UNC and show me this great, great genius mind you are.
But you were supposed to throw in there that let's see what he does without Tom Brady, because then I would have pointed out, old great passer rating guru, go look at Tom Brady's game-by-game passer rating in the playoffs, and you will be startled by how meh it is. Because I think we all have this perception of, I mean, he was massively clutch, but we have this perception of he always kicked ass in the playoffs, and the numbers tell you not quite.
He did kick butt in the playoffs. It ain't about passer rating. That's the point.
Clutch moments.
This guy's all about passer rating.
Oh, I know about passer rating and win losses, by the way. I'm not going to move off either one of those. Okay. I believe in it firmly. But you guys also got to elevate your team in the clutch moments, and
without question,
Tom Brady did that.
Yes, he did until he didn't.
I would like to point out they probably ran the ball more effectively and consistently in the playoffs than they did in the regular season. And Patriots were always a very nice balanced team. So
yes, they were very nice.
Back to what Halfley had to say. It seems like. Just going, he didn't say it, but he did say it. It seems like he's not really expecting to win much this year. Shout out to Lorenzo. Because he was saying that, you know, it's about building the foundation. And he said, you know, sorry to the fans, you know, but this is, you have to start somewhere. And so it seems like, and then he talked about the owner and like, so it seems like he's not really expecting. Not saying that he doesn't want to, because he even said that, you know, I want to win and we all want to win. But it seems like he's not expecting to win much this year. It's more about building something.
If you look at where this team was last year, I remember there was a moment where I was in the locker room. They were like, had lost, I don't know. They were on that 0-7, I mean, that 1-7 skid. And I was talking to players in the locker room. We were having a discussion about how hard the media is, and I'm not going to name names, but and I had to explain to them, my role is not to be your cheerleader. My role is to hold the team accountable to the fan base. And I said, I know that right now you guys are losing because of the rookies are playing and not necessarily playing up to the standard that you need them to play. And everybody was like, yep, pretty much exactly what's going on. And I was like, I don't write that because I don't see how it benefits, you know, I don't see how it's necessary or benefits the team. So there are times when I look the other way, but yeah. And that, I think that was going into the Carolina game. Yeah. Rookies were costing the team losses. And my point is, and I say that, my point is, if you can't stop the run early in the season, and everybody is running dead set at you, and you're not able to rush the passer because everybody's running at you. And
I'm sorry, was it Jordan Phillips, Zeke Biggers, or Kenneth Grant who couldn't bring down Justin Herbert on that last game? I'm sorry, was it Jonas Avainaya who couldn't get the Dolphins to score on their final two drives against New England when they had the chance? I'm sorry, was it
loud pressure.
Was it Jason Marshall Jr. or Dante Trader Jr. who messed up when Tua threw the pick against Buffalo, or when Zach Sealer committed that penalty on the punting situation? Can we just like not do this whole thing? Finger pointing was all about being a young team. Sorry, the vets also let down big time at key moments last year. That was the reason, part of the as big a reason as the Dolphins starting off 1-6 and 2-7 as the fact that they had a very young team, which I agree with you, generally doesn't lend itself to success when you have an overwhelming amount of rookies or young players, which is going to be a problem again in 2026. But let's not absolve the veterans and key players of all blame, please.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, if veterans can make a mistake from play to play, Zach Sealer can cost you a game. Minka Fitzpatrick making the wrong read on that play against Chargers can cost you a game, putting rookie in position to make the whiff on a tackle. But if a rookie's costing you five plays a game, collectively five of them are costing you five plays, that's 25 plays, Playboy. That's a lot of plays that you have to overcome.
Playboy. Oh, yeah, that's me.
Yeah, but that's why you need a quarterback that's going to make up for those mistakes.
Oh, here we go.
No, I'm just saying. This is the difference. You need a quarterback who's going to make plays when nothing's there. You just made up for a mistake. When Jonah whiffs on a block, guess what? I got out of it anyway. See, these are the things that you can hide when you have a quarterback like Malik Willis, who's going to be a great this season.
But you also need the key players to come up at key moments, which is
absolutely
because their 1-6 easily could have been 3-4, if not 4-3, if they had been more clutch, which they absolutely were not. And it wasn't on the rookies, even though they might have like plopped down five bad plays.
TD makes a great point of something that Halfley said in the Richard Sherman interview. And if you haven't checked out the Richard Sherman interview, you should, because it's a great conversation between a coach, your new coach, and a player that he tremendously respects, who he clearly said, I've been trying to get you to come coach for years, and you're eventually going to wear down and come work with me. He talked about Malik Willis. And one of the things that stood out, and I've heard these praises, but this was different. He said, Malik Willis throws an extremely accurate ball when he's on the move.
Mm-hmm.
So I heard that, and I knew TD was going to praise God. He was going to celebrate. he was going to tell you he's right.
No, see, what's understood ain't got to be explained. See, I mean, come on, man.
Oh, my God. That's too
funny. No, yeah, no, no. But, But what was beautiful, though, it goes beyond that. See, like when you talk about rookies making these mistakes on the field, it can't come back to bite you. But the biggest thing that stood out that people need to realize, one key thing that he attacked in the draft with these rookies, we got some of the smartest players coming out. Like he got all guys that he knows the game. They understand the game. They're smart, which sometimes already built in discipline, already sound.
Who do these you know guys, for sure is smart?
No, I mean, this is,
they say that every year.
No, they don't. Why do you think they hide?
Eric Uzukama was smart too.
Why do you think they hide the Wonderlic scores now? You know, some people are just saying, you know,
do they still take it or they don't take it anymore? Saying,
I'll leave that alone, but whatever.
Wow. That was a cheap shot of all cheap shots.
I know.
How? Can you break it down to explain how is it a cheap shot?
I shall not.
Oh, why not, Omar? Why?
Well, TD, hey, listen. TD feels a certain way about CJ Stroud and how low his Wonderlic score is.
Wow. Well, it's showing now. It's showing now. It's starting to show. So,
have you ever taken a Wonderlic test?
Who, me?
I took it. Anybody.
Yeah, 31, baby. 31.
Yeah, one online.
31.
It's basically, do you remember college? Do you remember, do you have common sense? And do you remember some of the college thing basics that you were taught? High school basics that you were taught.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
You don't want to score this.
It means nothing.
Man, it's just the time and it's like, it's just adding. All right, man, let's roll.
You did so well that one episode, and now we're what, 20 something minutes
in? I have not said nobody's name. I'm talking in general. You see, that's on y'all mind. That's the problem. It's in your heads.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, but it ain't nothing. I ain't no lies told. No lies told.
He's anyway. Laughing all the way to the bank.
No, this is true. Ooh. Ooh, yeah.
Stop being an owl, Alan.
Peter, you got any prize picks you want to talk about real quick before we go into more of Halfley?
Yes, I do have prize picks I want to talk about because I ain't gonna lie, I was a little down last night. Some of these guys let me down in the NBA. I might just stick to my NFL futures. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, I'm gonna give it one more crack at it, okay? We're going to take one more shot at it. We got Brunson, who's been balling for the New York Knicks. Shout out to all the New York Knicks fans, man. Y'all might go to the finals, but I don't think you're going to win anything. But I got Brunson over 26.5. He shows up in these games. Paul George got a little spark to himself lately, even though he ain't closed the game well last time. 11.5 points. And LeBron James, good old faithful, man. Man, when is his career coming to an end? Who knows? Sooner rather than later, I believe. But he's still playing at a high level at his age, 20.5. I got the over. I like this one, $10 to pay $40 on a three-pick power play. You can get in on the action with Prize Picks. You play $5, you're going to get $50 instantly in lineups. Use code HMA. Obviously, supporting our sponsors is supporting the channel, but I got to let you know they're available in so many different states, New York, California, Texas, Florida, so many more. Just make sure you go check it out, and you'll see if your state applies, all right? Follow me as well on Prize Picks, where you can look at all my picks, see how I'm doing. But yeah, I got to turn it around. I got to, you know, get in on this one tonight. So follow me, tell this one if you want, and get in the action. And when you win, make sure you at Dolphins Collective on X so that we can see your ticket, your winning ticket, that is.
All right. Shout out to Prize Picks. So yeah, let's go more into what Halfley had to say, because he talked a lot about Malik Willis and why he picked him and how he is. Because, you know, what's funny, and, you know, I put a tweet out kind of asking why are some of the fan base so down on Malik Willis already when the man hasn't even played a game. And some people, you know, some people were like, oh, that's because this and that, and because he was, you know, there's no competition, some people were upset with. And then one person said to me, when did Halfley ever say that he was the starter and he's the guy? in this interview, even if you didn't, because that's what he said to me, the said person was, yeah, I get the 22 and a half million, but that doesn't make him a starter. Richard Sherman literally asked Jeff Hafley, why did you pick Malik Willis to be your QB1, your guy? And Jeff Hafley didn't say, well, you know, we're still having a competition or that. He was like, boop, this is why I picked him to be quarterback one. This is why I picked him to be the guy. And it makes sense. And it's something that shouldn't shock anyone. We've been talking about it forever. You know, he was the scout team quarterback. You know, he said he talked to him more than you talked to Jordan Love. And he told him yada, yada, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, he is the guy, right? Mm-hmm. And
Was anybody expecting Hafley to say, well, Richard, hold on a second here. We're going to have a competition. We don't know for sure that he's going to be the guy.
Jobs have to be earned. He could have said
come
that.
Come on, man. Andy, sorry?
I said jobs
he have earned to be earned. It. He earned it in Green Bay.
The other thing, too, is also the point that Hafley made that was, to me was very interesting. He said it was important to get a guy that they were familiar with.
Okay.
You know, what does Malik Willis do bad?
Oh, Jesus.
I'm asking. What
he does good, because we don't know, because it's only been six games.
Everything.
Can he do it consistently for more than six starts?
And that's respectable. Wondering if he can do it consistently is a valid point, but he can do everything well. It's whether he can do it consistently. He has the tools. What more could you ask?
The one thing I could tell you in the six games that he played that I'm not absolutely certain is whether or not he can effectively, consistently read defenses and find the open man. What I see is a lot of scrambling when the block gets hot. I see a lot of scrambling, and I think that that's beneficial, and it's cute until teams get a playbook on it, and then some linebacker is going to put you on IR because they're going to rock your block, and then we're going to learn how good Quinn Ewers is can and how much he can play, because you're going to be down for a little bit. You I'm sorry, scrambling quarterbacks, that's part of the reason why I'm not a huge fan of them, because they're putting themselves and their team at risk. But I'm not sure he can dissect the field the way you need to in the NFL on a consistent basis, and we don't have the sample size to prove it.
You know what's beautiful about that, Omar? He does run and scramble a lot, which is dangerous, but one thing I saw on the limited film, he knows how to protect himself. You know, he could get that extra 2 yards. You know what? Let me go down now. He does that very well. He avoids, hey, let me take on this contact. He avoids it very well. Number two, as far as processing the field, he's not elite. He's not great. Right now, for me, he's good at it, not superior or anything like that. But you know what's interesting on that film in Green Bay? They gave him that outlet every time, and that's what Caleb Douglas is going to be. When things get shaky and it happens quick, put up that one-on-one ball. Throw up that deep ball, and he's pretty good at it. That's what I saw on film. What's that?
He said, we're punting on third down.
No. I mean, and that's the crazy thing. Go back and watch the film. You'll see they love to do that on second down. When you get that second and third.
You got to convert on third downs, brother. And that requires you to be very efficient and throw into tight windows and dissect defenses quickly. And, you know, some quarterbacks, they can do that. And they are efficient on third downs and some aren't.
Name a couple of those that we might be familiar with. Sorry.
Allen, you ain't right, man. Why y'all keep messing with that man? All
right. Somebody's got to.
We'll see. But Hafley does like his guy.
I also found it very interesting that he talked about the intelligence of the players. That's the number one thing. Oh, they're smart. And you know how we know they love football? Because of the way they play, because of the film. And I'm thinking to myself, like, okay, well, we'll see how good they are. He singled out Jacob Rodriguez as the player that he believed that would not be there when they selected him in the second round. That's clearly because he had an idea. He had the thought that he was a first round talent, as did a lot of us, considering we were in the exact same position as the Dolphins when we saw Jacob Rodriguez in our mock draft. And we're like, all right, well, it was unanimous. Let's all take him. So, you know, props to them. I think if a player knows he has some input and some ownership, he's going to put his best foot forward. And that's Kafley talking to Sherman about players giving insight and feedback. And he said, now, not a rookie, but, you know, people with a little bit of experience in terms of determining what happens on the field. Sherman actually talked to him about – Sherman demanded that he was on the sideline for one season, and he was, even though LaFleur Kyle Shanahan wanted to put him up in the booth. The standard you walk by is the standard you set. That's interesting and very fitting for this organization, this regime, this culture, because they have to be consistent about everything. And I found this very, very interesting. He said, if a player that we have in the starting lineup isn't playing with the toughness and tenacity that we want, I'm going to pull them and play the backup. And I thought to myself, sure.
If you have a good enough backup.
Yeah. I thought to myself, sure, but
I think this is the year to kind of test that out, though, right? Because if he's not expecting to win much, or if he is playing a bunch of guys who maybe they aren't at that level, what does it hurt to, you know, kind of set that precedent and do it? You know, okay, you're not doing, you're out, you're in. Because what is going to hurt? You know, we're already down 41 points.
You have young players, you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly point to instances the past couple of years where you could notice somebody on the field? Man, they're not putting it all out there. That guy needs to be yanked. Do we really notice that?
Needs to be yanked?
Really, mm-hmm. Doug? Go ahead. Give me an example.
Oh, it was the right guard.
Oh, and, Smith?
No, sorry. You know what? It was Julian Hill after, I think, his fumble. It was like he had two holding penalties, and then he had a fumble, and Mike McDaniel kept putting him out there. And it's like, at some point, just...
But that's... Well, time out. That's not my point, because the Halfley comment was, if I see guys who are not going out there, not being tough, I'm yanking their asses, in so many words.
Yeah, and if your offensive line is...
Making mistakes is not the same thing as not playing hard, which is why, to me, it's like this notion, players play hard. I'm sorry. And this is like, we want tough guys who love football.
Again,
we hear that every single time.
But you can tell the difference. Like you would see like Christian Wilkins, or you would see Jordan Phillips. You know, there would be a play where they're going after the quarterback, and then, you know, he dumps it off to the running back, and they're running 10 yards the other way to make the tackle, whereas other guys will kind of be like, oh, all right, you know, I'm going to – like the D lineman will kind of stop. You know, you could – not saying that those are instances where you pull them off the field, but to say that you can't tell the difference between a guy who's kind of just phoning it in, I disagree with that. I think you can definitely see.
No, but what I'm saying is I didn't see that last year. They were not good, but I didn't see a lack of effort. It's funny because the second you said Jordan Phillips, I was thinking back to Omar's buddy and I was about to say, yeah, that would be one guy where sometimes the effort wasn't there that he needed to get his ass yanked out of there. And then,
yeah.
But to me, the last couple of years, I don't know. I didn't see it. I saw a lack of execution. I didn't see a lack of effort or intensity.
I agree with Poupard wholeheartedly, and maybe I watch too much football. It's always lack of execution, poor game planning and strategy, and basically being outmanned. To me, owning the line of scrimmage, and then it comes down to quarterbacks being clutch in those critical moments, and. You gotta have all four of those things. You gotta be able to stop the run, but that comes back to the line of scrimmage. You gotta be able to run the ball, stop the run. You could do all those things. You're the New England Patriots. And
yeah,
we have not been able to do a lot of those things. And my issue is with a lot of rookies, as I often say, you cannot coach 13 rookies who are contributing. It's not,
haven't you?
Yeah, it's literally not possible. There's some rookies are going to fall through the wayside. If you can, you probably can coach eight rookies to contribute, and eight rookies get them to the point where they're just not soiling themselves.
See, but that's why you get draft picks. That's where you get smart rookies. You know,
that's right.
Oh yeah, uh-huh. Yeah.
Boy, y'all right them all. But I think y'all are actually disagreeing on two different things. Alan and Omar, what y'all are saying is correct. It was not like last year. It wasn't a lack of effort. You just outmanned. Mm. You know, guys just may not be good enough or with the matchup. Yeah. But I think what Doug is talking about and what they were talking about in the interview was looking at a rep, even if they did bad in the rep, how is the next rep? You know, how much do they love the game? Like, are they, and when you use Christian Wilkins, that's the perfect example. Christian Wilkins isn't an elite defensive tackle. I don't even think he's a great defensive tackle. He's a really good defensive tackle, like right in that range, right? Okay. But what makes him great to a degree is when he is attacking the quarterback and the quarterback throws a bubble screen 20 yards away, Christian Wilkins is the one that makes the tackle 40 yards down the field. You know, almost like a last, and you're like, this motor, this, like, you know how many guys would be coming at the quarterback and just watch the play? Like, mm-hmm. That's the type of guys that he identified, that he saw on film, that those are the guys that love football, which I agree. Guys who put that extra effort and just don't just chalk it to the game, oh, I'm not going to get there, you know, and just watch it. Those are the guys. That's why Rodriguez, sideline to sideline, he attacks it. These guys, they don't give up on plays, and they give it their all on every play. And that's what we got.
I think there are a lot more guys who will turn around after the quarterback has thrown the outlet pass and chase the ball, the guy with the ball. Then there are guys who are going to just stand where the quarterback goes.
Yeah, 100%.
Full out sprint. Like, yes, I got to go. Yes, I don't see it that often on field.
Everybody on this roster has accomplished either nothing or is barely hanging on to their NFL career. Yeah. You think they're going to put bad film out there? I don't think so.
I agree with Alan. There's not a lot of Albert Haynesworths in the NFL who – we'll just lay on the ground.
What was that guy who came to Miami from FIU?
Tahir Tart.
Huh? Tahir Tart. Completely lazy. Like, just absolutely mailed it in.
Kill it with the team he went to, though?
Yes, and then killed it with the Chargers.
Yeah.
Like, killed it with the Chargers to the point where he got an extension. You know, sometimes you just got to be able to reach a guy. And Not just that, but I think the biggest challenge that a lot of these rookies will face is the mental challenge of how do I process this? How do I overcome this when I'm struggling? And the mental toll is what challenges rookies the most, more than the physical toll. Like, I'm sorry, Jonas Avenia, you could tell he was mentally struggling for majority of the season. I forget what player it was. He comes up to him after the game and he's just like, hey, you know, tell me how I can get better. It's an opposing player. Like, help me.
Kevin Hayward.
Yeah. Help me figure out what I got to do to get to where I need to go. And I respect that. I admire that. But you can tell it's in his head. Like, do I have some tells about what I'm doing? And players will share that stuff with you afterwards, not while they're in the in the pits.
Right before the snap.
Hey, not while they're kicking your ass.
Yeah. Now if somebody kicked your head and then helped you out afterwards and be like, yo, rookie, you're tipping your plays, blah, 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 blah. Your footwork is, you know, that's great. But I think part of the reason Dante Trader didn't play a lot in the second half of the season is, I mean, there was a drastic drop in playing time after the Chargers play. Drastic. You saw Gordon hit the rookie wall. You know, he never got over it. Mm-hmm. Who else was it? Jason, oh my God, Jason Marshall Jr. Like, after he got injured, did we ever really see him again? And a lot of sometimes that stuff is just a mental challenge and being able to overcome it. You know, Patrick Paul overcame some struggles his rookie season, and it helped him define who he was as a player. He got fitter, he got stronger. He worked on his technique, and it starts to show in training camp. And that's my hope for these second year players is, okay, the speed of the game is not too big for me. I want to be great. I need to elevate myself and elevate my game, and see them take it there.
Yeah,
I'm still waiting for video of Chop Robinson. I haven't seen a picture of Chop Robinson in OTAs yet.
And that's why I'm like a little encouraged by Jonah, being that I wanted the Dolphins to draft him so badly, is that he never really gave up. I like that he was like, what am I doing wrong? Like he goes to the opponent to figure out his thing, and he never just kind of was like, I'm just never going to get it, and kind of going through the motions and continuing to get beat. So I'm hoping moving him to the right side will help a little bit.
I remember having a conversation with Liam Meichenberg when he was being moved to right guard, and it was literally the only position he hadn't played on the offensive line. I'm literally going to him for that story. Like, you're going to complete the all five spots, starting at all five spots. And he basically said to me, well, my career hasn't worked at any other spot. Why not try this one? And I thought to myself, like, the humility and awareness, remember when Zach Sealer got his foot broken and we go in the locker room, we're trying to figure out who it is, and then Liam Meichenberg's like, was it me? I didn't do it. he was like, guys, don't even bother, it wasn't me.
It's so funny too, because you think that like, oh, they're too busy to be on social media, but no, like, they are, like, even Julian Hill, like, he knew, because Teron Armstead was like, when I talked to him and I asked him, this is like the first time I ever really talked to him, and I was like, who's the best blocker on the team that's not an offensive lineman? He was like, he gets a bad rap, but Julian Hill. And I was like, they hear the fans when we get on these players, and it's funny.
I'll go into the game. I'll go into the locker room after the game, and all you see is this.
That's why I got blocked by two.
They adding their own name to see how many mentions.
All you see is all you see is them scrolling. Like, you go to
they not right after they game. Name in on Twitter. Okay,
they haven't even taken off their uniform first.
I gotta bring back this funny quote. There's one of the all-time quotes from the Dolphins, talking about position switch for an offensive lineman from the right side to the left side. So the Dolphins, if you recall, signed Josh Sitton, who had been a Pro Bowl guard, and they switched him sides. And then he was asked, like, what's the difference from, you know, going from right guard to left guard? And he basically said, yeah, it's like learning to wipe your butt with a different hand.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I love that quote. It's
an all-timer.
I broke my playing football, I broke my right elbow. So I had a cast from about here all the way. I had to learn to wipe my butt with my other hand. It's not easy, man. It's not easy to go from one to the other. So...
You know, I was sitting here thinking about all the conversations that we have. You know, you can't coach all these rookies, which I understand the logic.
That's only him. Only him.
You know, it's just so much about, well, they haven't proven anything yet, and this and that, that and this. Well, do we ever realize that there are rookies that are drafted that ball out day one, period. Mm-hmm. Do we not have any of those guys that fit that profile?
Very
Jarvis Landry, all out.
Oh yeah, Jarvis.
No, it's more often than that. Alex, there's some rookies that come in and boom,
one a year.
Stop, one a year out of the whole draft.
Name one last year. Name one last year. Balled out from day one.
Out of the entire draft.
From the Dolphins, the Dolphins.
Oh, well, I ain't talking about the Dolphins. That was Chris Greer. So I already know it's going to be rare.
Jalen Ramsey balled. I mean, Jalen Waddle balled out his rookie year.
Throwing
him 5 yards out. So, I mean, seriously.
Yeah. They made him
Devon in 2023, I would say, when he got
Austin Jackson played solid as a guard.
Yeah, it's not balling out, though.
He's not balling out from day one.
So. He was the left tackle. He was
Waddle definitely balled out.
Austin Jackson.
Tua definitely balled
out. Tua did not ball out.
See, you're the one now, dog. You keep giving us a hard time.
I'm a man. I'll say his name. Yeah. You guys won't say his name.
I don't talk about
his name. I'm not talking about you waiting nothing.
I'm in two. Oh, Mike Pouncey balled out his rookie year.
Andrew Van Ginkle kind of balled out, you know, when he got his.
No, he didn't.
Big long balled out from day one.
So the Tuzzle, no one 2019.
A-Chain.
Minka. I think Minka.
Minka didn't ball out his rookie year.
Javon Holland played well. He played well. I mean.
It probably was the best of his years, and his years were all average.
Find him, though. I'm going like.
Yeah, but we're talking about Chris Greer's drafts, man. This is John Eric.
We go past Chris Greer's draft. I'm in 2009. I'd say Sean Smith balled out his rookie year. I kind of
count. The term TD used was balled out from day one. I'm sorry.
You know what I mean? As a rookie, contributing is balling out. Contributing at a solid, positive level.
Bar's got to be a lot higher than that.
My whole point to all of this, I feel like we got five guys.
Mike Pouncey.
What's your whole point, TD?
Huh?
What's your whole point?
My whole point is I think we got five guys that's going to contribute at a high level right away. Proctor is. Y'all worrying about if he can stay on the field. He will. Proctor will. Okay? Chris Johnson is going to lock it down. Jacob Rodriguez, when he shows that he can take over. Caleb Douglas, who y'all keep sleeping on. I'm telling y'all, that's the man.
Hold on real quick about Caleb Douglas. That video that's circulating about how quick his feet are, he looks like a newborn giraffe. Is it just me, or is his legs like real wide?
Y'all really doing that? Yes. Y'all don't know. 4.39 speed doing that at 6.4.
It's a workout video, bro.
Man, he's going to be gliding on the field. Like I said, y'all heard it here first. Caleb Douglas is going to be the next potential superstar in this league at the wide receiver position.
I love when fans get all worked up over workout videos. And this is my favorite. When they see Devon Achane with his chest puffed out, and oh God, he's put on 15 pounds of muscle. He's much bigger now.
Jalen Wright last offseason when he
body. Do you see him?
I never raved about A-Chan in that regards. He's just a baller in general. But I named you four, and number five, Will Casemaker, however you pronounce it. He gonna be really good day one. That's five guys, and I ain't even bring in Chris Bell. I didn't even mention Chris Bell. We got, oh my gosh, y'all don't realize how good of a draft this was, how good these guys are.
How much is the high number of contributors a reflection on a really mediocre roster as opposed to nailing the crap out of the draft, which we will not know for sure probably Both. 2-3 years on the road.
Right? I would be shocked if these players, these rookies, made more plays than they gave up. Made more impact plays than cost plays that cost you games. The good ones are gonna be 50-50.
Man, this is gonna be a beautiful season. I can't wait to come on here every week and be like, no, don't be raving about Caleb now, Alan. Don't be raving about Will now, Omar.
I like Caleb Douglas's film. I had no issue with it. I understood what they saw. I get it. The question is, does it translate to an NFL field? Especially when they play press defense. Does he move that well with pads on?
Excellent release.
Cool. And yet, literally, that's what the opposite of what was it after Sullivan said that he needs to get stronger to work at
the team. Yeah. And can you, the most important thing is, are you intelligent enough to master your playbook and assignments and the game plan each week?
But and they got up the Rhodes Scholars, Omar, didn't you hear?
They got all Rhodes Scholars.
And TD, understand this. I am not predicting poor performances by any stretch of the imagination. I am just I'm hoping you'd like simmer down a little bit.
Cautioning.
As opposed to projecting greatness on all of those guys because you're a Dolphin fan. That's all I'm
saying. Listen. It 6 years ago, I took the fact of me being a Dolphin fan out of a lot of things.
Okay.
A lot of things. Okay. I just think that what they're building, like people don't realize, they put an offense together. One that can be respectable, in my opinion, when they go out on the field. I thought there was no hope at all. They put an offense together. Now, is it big names and superstars? No, but these guys, I believe, with Malik's skill set, this is perfectly built for him. Perfectly built for his skill set. We keep going through this.
Who's your top three? Name them.
Caleb Douglas is number one. Okay. You're going to have Tutu and Tolbert to start out. And when Bell gets back, you're going to have a formidable room.
Okay, so Malik is not even in your equation.
No, you said receivers.
Yeah, Malik Washington.
Yeah, no, he's not. He's going to be a rotation guy. He's going to make some plays, but no, he's really not. He's going to be a number four to me.
All right.
No, he may be in the rotation. He's going to be in the rotation, but as a main factor, I just don't know. Unless the last quarterback was just that bad, and maybe that could potentially be the case. Maybe Malik can elevate Malik.
Sure.
But you don't believe in Malik?
Listen, I fortunately have the benefit of being able to go to OTA practice and actually watch them practice. So I will formulate my opinions then. I will begin to formulate my opinions then. Then when pads come on, I'll begin to formulate my opinions then. Then when we have some joint practices, I will form some opinions and share them. But right now, it's just too early. And I'd be real with you, I don't even know how these guys coach. I don't even know if these guys can coach. And there have been years that I've been around here where you had players, but you didn't have a coach. Mm. Or you had a coach, but you didn't have players. So it's got to work hand in hand. And I don't know these people.
You sound like Kiki Palmer. I'm sorry to this man. I don't know this man. Shout out to Michael the Tenor. He said, cool seeing how much respect Sherman has for Half and being one of his favorite coaches, making him stay on the field instead of the booth. Half going to have players run through a wall for him.
Yeah, he Sherman was like, yeah. I thought that was so interesting that he was like, yeah. I had to go to Kyle and tell him, yeah, Sherman wants me on the field, so sorry, I can't go to the booth. I'm like, huh? Like, how does that work?
It's respect. Mutual.
Love it. Garpump said, catch Richard Sherman's interview with Half. Yes, we did. About resetting the roster and culture by moving on from stars to build the NFL's youngest team, prioritizing toughness, effort, and love for the game. I think also, do you think...
getting you to the playoffs.
Do you think they also moved on from some of... Because moving on from some... He talked about... Get my words out. He talked about moving on from the contracts to help the cap, but some of them hurt the cap. Right, obviously, one thing that one. Do you think also he wanted a younger team so they will kind of listen to the new culture and listen to?
It's the same reason that Bill Parcells banished Zach Thomas and traded Jason Taylor when he got here.
Mm. Well, Jason Taylor, I believe he didn't like the fact that he was on Dancing with the Stars or whatever.
I hated
that. He was going to find some reason to ban that was Jason Taylor still don't like Bill Parcells to this day.
Good.
And you know, only reason he came back was because Sperano demanded it, and then you know, and that got in between Sperano and Parcells' relationship. But yeah, Parcells did the same thing. You gotta the strong leaders. You gotta purge them. You gotta purge them from the team. Not to say that it's the right thing to do, but. You know, it's what people in organizations that are beginning a purge do. I mean, truthfully speaking, there is nobody here that I feel like, oh, you shouldn't have cut that person. And if there was, James Daniels would probably be the one guy. I'm like, not that he's found work, but I'm like, how does taking that cap hit benefit you at all?
Yeah.
It doesn't. That was about, a message. Can't make the club in the tub. What? From the tub, something like that.
Flicks
can't make love in the tub. Okay.
No, can't make the club in the tub. Mark, that puts his on his mind apparently.
Flicks Hort said TD talking about a shift yesterday in his stream, saying he might be moving more wins, like what 4-13 to 6-11 or 7-10.
Y'all don't feel the shift. Y'all don't feel the shift from the past to the present.
I'm a 7-10 guy. I'm
I got 5-6. That's where I have their wins at right now.
That's where my top shelf is. I'm 7-10 based on what I see.
I don't think, and I guess I'm a minority, but I don't think they're going to be picking top three. I think they're going to be more competitive than people think. And also, I know that the NFL is the NFL. And any given Sunday, also you have injuries. So, you know, when the schedule comes out, obviously we'll look at it. But I could see them winning 5-6 games.
9 games.
You know when the schedule's going to come out?
At a minimum. Probably the 18th or the 20th.
They were talking about pushing it back a week, which would put it on the 20th. Yeah.
It's the 20th.
Or it'll be the 13th, but like, it smells like the 20th.
It's going to be the week. The NFL likes to, you know, show that they got the big one. So it'll be the start of the NFL play, the NBA conference finals.
The big what? No, the issue of play, play here is apparently there's like 5 games, there's a package of 5 games that's still out for bidding from streaming networks, and obviously the NFL wants.
I hate that. I hate that. They do not, and I get it, right? It's the NFL. It's about making money, yada, yada, blah, blah, blah. They do not care about the fans.
You're going to watch it wherever they put it. So shut your mouth. You're going
to
watch it.
You know what's funny, though? And I'm going to have to say this in a certain way so we don't get in trouble, but they will go through other avenues to watch certain games that they can't get because it's ridiculous that there's 7 different things you have to go through to watch football now. It used to just be 3 things. ABC, ESPN, ABC, ESPN, /ESPN, Fox, or you had the ticket. Now it's like you got to get at Netflix and you got to get Peacock. And then you gotta get, dumb.
It's Prime. The market is the market. Show me the money.
Thank you, TD.
Show me the money.
Yeah, I know. At the end of the day,
they're like, you won't find the game wherever you find the game, man. You think they care that people are stealing the streams? Like that the check is already cash, brother. Like,
yeah. And these streaming services still hit the numbers that they're seeking.
I have an issue with NBA now. I half the time I can't find a game I want to watch. Like, what network is tonight's game on? I don't know.
Does that now that goes into the updated cap, right? So like the more they have these streaming services, the more cap limit they'll have next year.
Next year,
because it used to not jump so big, right? What it would jump like 6 million from the year before. Now it's jumping like 20 million from the year before. Now it's gonna be
in 20 million. Yeah, they look at it from a percentage standpoint. It's been pretty steady at around 8%, though.
But you know what? They're gonna take a loss. They're gonna take when they bought the NFL Network. That's a long term play. That's going to create gains long term, but right now the immediacy of it.
They took the Thursday night football,
NFL loves losses because they could just put them on the players.
Once they took Thursday night football away from NFL Network, you saw it coming that they were just going to merge it with ESPN, just put it on Prime. That's such horrible games. Bernard, thanks for becoming a member, my man. We appreciate you. And Chief said, shout out from
Medellin.
Love the show, guys.
I need a place to go on vacation, gentlemen. I need a good place. Flights are super expensive right now.
Yes, stay home, man.
We're getting in trouble if we talk about why they're expensive. But we will see you guys in the next one. Go check out Omar Kelly on the Miami Herald, Alan Poupart, Miami Dolphins on SI, TD Fins Talk, youtube.com/TD Fins Talk, and Roundtable Sports, myself on youtube.com/DougLeeDoWrong. We will see you in the next one. We will let you know when it is ASAP. We out. Peace.